mind as we celebrate fathers and men. I'd like to give a shout out to my dad, Ron Seaman. Thank you so much for your investment in me. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for showing me how to work hard for a family and others. We celebrate fathers and men today, and if you're blessed to still have your father with you, make sure that you thank him today and that he knows how much of a difference and an impact he has made in your life. And for those of you who cannot experience this day without some degree of pain because of the absence of your father, we pray that today you will feel your heavenly Father especially close to you, and he will give you strength and grace. Life has looked quite different for us, and in a way that no one could have predicted at the start of this year. So many things about our connections and way of life are different. I mean, things look completely different today. And we likely haven't settled into a new normal. And that's difficult because our brains are wired for and they crave normalcy, predictability, and routine. Some of you have experienced the loss of employment and income, and you wonder what the future holds for you. Some of you have experienced the loss of health, and you wonder if you'll ever return to a state of health you once enjoyed before. I mean, everything has changed. Our relationships have changed. How we connect as family and friends have changed. Going to the grocery store, eating out, so many things about our lives is different. It's as if everything that could have been shaken has been shaken. Recently at an online Central Women's event, Jennifer Barrett, she said something that really resonated with me. She says, if we focus on what we're reading and hearing, then it sounds like it's COVID's moment. And when we could fill that blank in with any crisis that's in the headline now, it may seem like this is COVID's moment or the enemy's moment, but it's not. It's God's moment. And even though we may be struggling, he is doing things all over the world. This is God's moment, and we have to be ready to get involved. So thank you. Thank you to so many of you who have been involved. Thank you for those who have intentionally reached out to family and friends and neighbors during this time and doing whatever it is that you could do to help in their moment of need. Thank you to our medical personnel, first responders, so many of you who have been on the front lines serving our communities. Thank you for those who have lived with courageous faith during these troubling and uncertain times. Thank you for showing what it looks like to live out a faith that's rooted and grounded in Jesus, the one who is the rock, the fortress. He is the unmovable and unshakable one. Thank you for being involved. Now, a confession that I need to make is I really enjoy football. I mean, I just don't really enjoy it. I mean, I really enjoy football. I had the opportunity to play in middle school and high school and had a great time. Absolutely loved getting to play the game. And one of my favorite things about practice was tackling drills. And in tackling drills, I would often have the opportunity to square off against my twin brother. And I mean, when we would go at it, we would hit each other and go at it like we totally hated each other's guts. We'd be just punching at each other, tackling each other, and kind of playing it up for the effect of the team and everybody around. I mean, it was a lot of fun. For those of you who've either played the game or watched the game, you know that one small but significant aspect of the game is the huddle. Now, for those of you who don't know what a huddle is when the team gathers together to talk about the next phase or play of the game. The leaders give assignments or instructions. Players offer encouragement or, even if need, a swift kick in the pants. Over the last few months, as a church, our huddle has looked different. We're used to gathering together on site, but now we huddle together in home through screens. And today we're going to look at a particular huddle in Scripture, so to speak. As we look at our text, we see that Moses has gathered Israel in for one last huddle. And it's in this moment that Moses offers a simple and direct word to the nation. This is his final opportunity to share with them what is most important. And we see in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, Deuteronomy is Moses' replay of Israel's history, where they've come from, where they've been, what they've been through, and where they're headed. And we see in chapter 30, verse 15, Moses says, "Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life." So as we see, Moses is encouraging the children of Israel to choose life. And in choosing life, there's three choices that he encourages them to make. And the first is choosing to listen. You see, Moses, he declares their first choice that they have to make on this path to life is choosing to listen. You know, they've been huddled for a while, and they're about to break. And Moses wants to make sure that he has their attention before calling the play. You know, he's like, "Fellas, look, I need your attention. Listen." When my son Garrett was around 4 years old and he wanted to tell us something really important, he would come up to us and cup our face in his little hands and he would say, "I need to speak to your ears." Now, Garrett never slowed down much to say anything, but when he did, I mean, we paused and made sure that we took time to listen. And this is a moment that Moses needs Israel to listen. He's got him in the huddle, and he's like, "Guys, you know, I know we've been talking for a while, and, you know, you may have checked out way back in chapter 1, but, hey, at this moment right now, I really need you to listen." And I could see him cupping someone's face and like, "Give me your ears. I need to speak to your ears." Listening is one of the most important skills you could personally develop in life. I mean, and listening, it involves your whole person, not just your auditory hearing, but it involves your heart and your mind as well. Let me ask you today, how are you doing when it comes to listening? Listening can be hard, especially when our minds and our hearts are filled with so many worries and cares and concerns. It can be hard to take time to truly listen, hear, and understand others. You see, listening, it's highly relational. Most matters, they cannot be addressed, and conflicts cannot be resolved without a healthy dose of listening. And when we listen, there's usually three objectives or goals that we have in mind. The first is we listen to learn. And all of us have experienced that in class or in school. You know, someone has some knowledge, some insight, some understanding that we need, and so we listen. And you'll always need this skill because you're always going to be learning and growing. You're never going to reach a point where you arrive. And so you'll always need to listen and learn. Solomon states in Proverbs, he says, "Plans fail for a lack of counsel." I mean, for the lack and unwillingness to listen to wisdom of others who know more or have more experience or who have been further down the road than you. For this reason, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. We also listen to evaluate and analyze. And Israel has been doing a lot of this kind of listening throughout Deuteronomy. I mean, they've been thinking about and considering where they've been. They're examining where they are right now in the present and where they are headed in their future. This is the kind of listening that you've engaged in as you've navigated this pandemic. It's the kind of listening we'll likely need to continue to utilize as we move forward. And thirdly, we listen to understand. This is actually a kind of listening we so desperately need today. It's the ability to listen and understand the perspective and feelings of others, even when we may not agree with them. In the film A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Tom Hanks portrays Mr. Rogers as he builds a relationship with an angry and broken and jaded reporter. You see, Mr. Rogers was known to be a man who listened. So many people that he came in contact with left, always feeling like they had been heard and understood. And in the film, we see that throughout the movie, we see how healing takes place when one person intentionally chooses to listen, to be present, and understand. James, he writes, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this." I mean, this is James's way of saying, "I need to speak to your ears." Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And this is not just with those who look like you, think like you, act like you, but it's especially with those who are different than you, which is actually everybody. Proverbs, Solomon also says in chapter 18, he says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." I mean, don't be foolish in your relationships, but take time to listen and understand. Another choice that Moses encourages us to consider in choosing life is that we choose others. Choosing others. Look at verse 19. He says, "Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." Here, Moses is echoing the promise from Exodus chapter 20, where after the second commandment, God promises that to those who love him and keep his commandments, he's going to show his life-giving favor for 1,000 generations. Now, that is a promise that your choice to pursue life could be such a tremendous blessing for generations to come. The choice of life is not just about you, but it's about others as well. So I'll ask you today, are you choosing life? I mean, do the choices you make, do they bless others? Are you being the person God created you to be? Because truly, that is what your children need. That is what your spouse needs. That is what your friends need. That is what your employer needs. That is what your community needs. And ultimately, that is what the world needs. Here is reality. Our choices impact and they influence others. I mean, it's definitely an inconvenient truth you can't get around, but your beliefs and actions, they shape other people. That's not a matter of will you make a difference, but what kind of difference will it be? So make an intentional choice to invest others. In life, choose others. The blessings that come from a life well lived should be, it should be shared with others. The scripture teaches that. I mean, that's one reason why these blessings have been given to us. I've never heard of anyone at the end of their life wishing they'd had more money, had spent more time on themselves, or had more stuff or possessions. I mean, most people in this place, most people wish they would have given more, that they had given more time to their children, to their spouse, to their family or friends, or to serving their community. In this pandemic, it's allowed you an opportunity and a moment to reflect on your choices and priorities. Most of you have probably seen on Facebook or social media the quote by David Hollis. I'll share with you today. He says, "In the rush to return to normal, use this time to consider which parts of normal are worth rushing back to." And so in pursuit of a new normal, be sure to include choosing to listen and choosing others. And lastly, we are actually going to end at the beginning. And Moses tells us here the entire key to life is choosing Jesus. Verse 20, he says, you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God and obeying him, committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. Just as Israel is about to break huddle and enter the promised land, I mean, this is the play of the game. Moses has them huddled, and he presents two plays before them. I mean, he's brought things down to the most essential elements and things, and he shares with them. He says, look, you guys can choose life and death, or you can choose right or wrong. But before Moses actually calls the play, he prophesied of the choice Israel would make. Yes, they would enter the promised land, but they would quickly forget God and his laws. They would break his commands, and they would turn from death instead of life. They would choose wrong instead of right. They would refuse to listen to what Moses had instructed them, and they would suffer the penalties of their choices. I mean, certainly there were moments when Israel obeyed God and they followed him. But as we look throughout their history, we see this cycle in Scripture of devotion, deviation, disobedience, and destruction played out time and time again. Generation after generation, they neglected Moses' words. They did not regard his commands, but they pursued death. They slammed the door on God and life. They forgot God. They ignored his commands. They lived according to their own terms. And this wasn't news to Moses. He knew this about Israel because their hearts were hard. You see, Deuteronomy, it's not just about Israel's story, but it's also our story as well. It's your story. And if you're honest, your story probably isn't much different than theirs. I mean, you've chosen right over wrong, death over life. You have a hard heart, and there are times where you willingly and willfully pursue sin and all that it offers. I mean, there's moments, sure, when you've got it together and you've got life, you know, good and you're making choices. But then there's moments to where sin has got a hold of you, and you run after this. You hurt yourself and your relationships. You hurt those around you. And on most days, all of these choices, it leaves you feel like the walking dead as you feed your appetite for destruction and sin. It's like there is something wrong inside of you, and until this thing inside of you changes, this is all you will ever choose. But this is not where your story has to end. This is not where the story ends. There is good news. Just as Moses predicted Israel's wandering from God, he predicted that one day God would raise up a prophet who would obey and follow after God. Just as Israel ignored and walked away from God and his commands, there would be one who would come who would completely and faithfully be devoted and follow after God and his ways. Even though you haven't kept God's word, there would be one who would come that would keep his word. Even though you have broken your commitments and your promises, even though you've broken God's laws and commands and have walked away from him, there is one who would come who would not neglect to keep his promise. God promised to come and fix all of our brokenness, and he did this through Jesus. Isaiah 53 tells us about Jesus. Verse 4 says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. You see, Isaiah is telling us that Jesus has come to fix all of our brokenness. He reverses the curse of sin and takes our stone hearts and gives us a heart of flesh. He gives you the life that he lived and takes from you the punishment and death that you deserve. And just as God gave Israel a new land, Jesus gives a new life, a fresh start, a new beginning. He does, Jesus does what the external law could not do outside of us. He gives us his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us, within us. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power and the ability to do what is good and pleasing and life-giving. Paul tells us in Philippians, he said, God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. I mean, this doesn't mean, though, that you'll never be drawn back or gravitate to those old choices that you've made. I mean, no, many times you will imperfectly live out the perfect life of Jesus. You will fall short. But when you do, repent. I mean, and repentance is just, it's you acknowledging your way is wrong and Jesus' way is right, and you choose his way. That's why Paul boldly declares in Romans, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus has set us free and he gives us new life. And so, as my son Garrett said, as Moses emphasized to the children of Israel, I need you to come close and I need to speak to your ears. And I want to ask you today, have you chosen life? Have you chosen to follow Jesus? Have you chosen to abandon your own way of doing life by your own agenda and plan? And are you following his? Have you chosen Jesus? You see, there's probably a million and one things in your past, things that you have done and that you've regretted, choices that you've made. There are things that you've done that's brought death to your relationships, harm and hurt and pain to yourself. But the truth is, today, in this moment, you can choose life. You see, you give Jesus all of those bad thoughts, choices, decisions, actions, those things that you've done. Don't hold on to them, because the reality is there's nothing that you can do to go back and change the past. I like this quote by Brian Banks. He says, if you spend too much time thinking about the last play, you won't be ready for the next one. So give your old life to Jesus. Give it to him. Lay it down and leave it there. The beautiful thing about the gospel is Jesus just doesn't take death from us, but he gives us a new life. He hits reset and gives us a fresh start and a new beginning. And now your point of reference in life is not your past and those things that you've done, but it is now the perfect life of Jesus Christ. You give him your old life and reputation, and he gives you his new life, his reputation and standing before God. And this is where you live from today forward. You never reach a point in life where you outgrow your need and dependence on him. For those of you who are following Jesus, I'd ask you today, I mean, God has blessed you, and he wants to use you to be a blessing. He wants you to bring life to others. What kind of difference are you making in the world? Be intentional and invest in others. And all of this starts when you choose to listen and understand where another person is coming from. You see, Jesus didn't stay in heaven and enact some plan of salvation. No, Jesus came to earth. He came and was God with us. And with it, he brought a new life. He brought redemption and a fresh start. And those that he came in contact with felt heard and understood by him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that in this moment of time, with everything that is going on in the world around us, that you are moving. Father, you want your people to be ready to be involved, and we thank you for the opportunities that you have given us. Lord, we thank you that today you offer each of us, each one, a fresh start. Lord, I pray for those that are listening and hearing this today that they would make a choice and a decision to walk away and leave their old life and decisions, those things that have brought hurt, death, and pain and destruction. God, that they would leave that at your feet and they would take up by faith today the new life you are offering them. That they would choose to follow you today and serve you. I pray today for your people, for your body, Lord, that you would continue to mobilize us and use us to be your hands and feet in this world. Lord, we so desperately need your peace. So use us, I pray. Give us hearts and eyes and minds to see those around us and serve them and love them. Jesus, give us just the willingness to listen, to hear, and understand those who are so different from us. Help us in this way. Lord, I commit these people to you today. Use them for your glory and honor and purpose. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.